He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Don Bain, and of course, I am the Gadget Professor. We're coming at you totally live and 100% in color from our Scottsdale, Arizona studio. Welcome, everyone. We are on show number 540. That is a lot of shows. Well, we have an interesting show for you today, some very esoteric apps, I would say, and we also have a gadget that I use pretty much every day. Now, today, with all the modern iPhones and Android phones and smart cameras and the GoPros and any type of video and or audio device, today is going to take some kind of SD card. And unfortunately or fortunately, all SD cards are not the same. There's fast ones, there's slow ones, there's small ones, there's big ones. There's 32 gig, there's 512, there's 1 terabyte SD cards. And also they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, so they're not all the same. In any event, whatever kind of SD card you have, you need to have a card reader. And I have several of them, and actually some of them that are 3 and 4 years old are actually obsolete now because there's new SD cards coming out almost monthly, and you need to get the new SD card readers. You also want a card reader that's fast, and these things are pretty simple. Let's take a look at one we're going to discuss today. There we go. This is a device, and I have two of these. One stays in my studio, and one travels with me. I use this one, the SmartQ C368 3.0, and some of these are 2.0, and some of these are 1.0. Again, they always change as the technology changes. Of course, the USB 3.0 is going to read faster, and you want to get those files transferred over. You want to play back the video from them, and especially with 4K, 8K, you need a card reader that can handle all of that. So this particular card reader, of course, is plug and play. It will work on pretty much anything that you have. I happen to use it on my Windows operating systems and also my laptops. It's very handy, very small, and as you can see here, this is actually going to read SF, SD, SDH, SCXF, and I have a couple cameras that take those, MMC and MMC Micro. Pretty much anything that you could think of, this will read. And there is a picture of it. It very simply just plugs into your USB port, automatically recognized. And what's nice about this is you can plug in several cards at one time, see them all, and read the one that you want. We'll take a look at it in a second. Also, as I mentioned, it's multi-card reader, and as you can see here, there we go, it lists all the cards that it will take. Also, I have a compact flash, as you can see right here, in one of my Nikon cameras, and they are specific cards for those cameras, and you need a reader, obviously, that can understand what those files look like, and this particular card reader will do that. So it's small, it's portable. As I said, it will work on all your operating systems, whether you're running a MacBook or a Windows operating system or Linux. It works on all platforms. That's good. This will also read and write to one card at a time. Obviously, you can't write to all the cards at once. I don't think there's a card reader out there that will do that. So this essentially will allow you to transfer files from one to the other, and that's a good thing. The other thing, as I mentioned, you can simultaneously read and write to the C368 Pro. I do not have one of these, so there you go with that. And last but not least, you can drop this. I have actually dropped it and stepped on it by mistake, of course, and it still works. So this sells for a whopping $17, at least right now. It has over 11,000 4.5-star ratings, which is quite good for a card reader. This particular one, you will find 230 questions asked and answered for you. So all that's nice. What I like about this is it's super fast. So let's take a peek at it. I'm going to unbox this one. I haven't even opened it up yet. But as I mentioned, this is the second one I have because I need one for my laptop when I travel. I lost the other one. So here we go. Let's take a peek. So as I mentioned, here is the SmartQ C368 card reader. Nothing special about the box. We are going to open this up like so. There we go. And pull it out. And this is what it looks like in the package. Nothing special there. We're going to have to rip this apart. All right, we've got a monster tear this open. The plastic is unusually tough. And here's what's inside. Man, that plastic is everywhere. Okay, we have a protector sheet here. We're just going to rip that off. And I don't know what this is. Need help? Not yet. I don't think I will need help with this, but this is going to open up, and it's going to tell you basically to plug it in, and if you need help, where to go. You're not going to get tech support on this, trust me. So this is the actual device. As I said, it's very small. For a comparison, there's my pen, and nothing special. You've got a USB 3 port on here, of course. That's indicated by the color blue. And here it is. So you're going to put your CF cards on this side, and very simple on the other side. You're going to have the micro SD card for the reader here. And of course, here you're going to have the SD card. And up here, you're going to have those larger cards that we spoke about before, like for my Nikon, that XD card. So a great, simple tool, but boy, I am lost without this. I really need that a lot. So there you have it. Straightforward, straight simple. You have about 2 bazillion choices when you go to Amazon to find a card. I like these. They work well. I've had no problems with them, and they're quite well made, and this gives you all the information. And again, all card readers are not the same. They are different, as you can see here. You can get them for a lot more money or a lot less money. One of the reasons I like this, as I said, it's very well built. You can drop it. You can step on it. I wouldn't recommend it, but it is plastic. And I'm not that heavy, but I didn't break it, so that's good. I just plain lost the last one. What can I tell you? All right, folks, it's time for some apps of the day, and we have some cool ones today. Let's take a peek at what we have. So our first app up is a video converter, compressor MP4, 3GP, MKV, MOV, and AVI. They are all video formats. This particular app is available only on the Android operating system, but I will show you the next app that is actually available on the iOS, the Apple system. Now, why do you want one of these video converters? And you're probably saying, I don't need one, but you do. You do need one of these, and these are both free. Sometimes they have in-app purchases, but you need to convert video files because sometimes you're going to download a movie or something from a DVD or from the internet or a YouTube video, and it's not the same format as your phone wants to see. Primarily with the iOS, they want to see an MP4 file or an HD file. So what do? You take the file, you put it in this software, and you convert it. Now, that said, I personally rarely, if ever, will do a conversion to convert from, let's say, an MOV file to an AVI or an AVI to an MP4. Rarely, real rare, will I ever do it on any phone, iOS or Android. Why? Because it takes forever. There's a lot of computerization, if you will, a lot of energy, computer power, to convert that, it takes a lot of time to do that, and it really strains, if you will, the CPU of your phone, the chip that's in your phone. So I always will do the conversion on a PC or on a Mac or on a laptop because it goes pretty fast on that. It's a lot easier to do that when you transfer it from, let's say, MKV is quite popular if you're downloading something from the internet to an MP4. I just go on the computer, swap it out with the file I want, and then bring it back into the phone or onto a stick and then into this and then back into the phone. So you have choices there. But what I do on the phone is I compress. There are many, many, many times where I will shoot a video, and I don't care whether you're on the Android system or your iPhone, and the file is huge, especially if you're doing a 4K. It's enormous. And when you try to email that to someone, it's not going to work. The file's too big, way too big. That's when one of these compressors come into play. You'll take that enormous file, you'll point it to the video converter, and it will compress it, reduce the size of it, not so much the quality, because again, you're on a phone, but you will reduce it. Sometimes you've got to reduce it in half, and sometimes you've got to go, double that just to get the phone to send it on an email system, especially Gmail. So yes, it will make it smaller. Yes, it will affect somewhat the quality, but if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to send it somewhere, at least through conventional email. So these are very handy, and this does a lot of different things, this particular one, as they all do. You can do a bunch of them at a time. You have many formats to choose from. You can merge files, and you can do a little cut and trimming on it. Again, you don't typically want to do editing on a phone. I occasionally do it on the iPad, but I have software that's specifically for that. Okay. The app that will do the same thing just for the iOS operating system is called Video Compressor Save Space. And this is primarily a compressor only. So it will show you what video size you want. You'll set the compression rate. Again, if you look on your Gmail account or your Yahoo Mail, whatever you're using, it will tell you what the limits are. It might be 1 gig. It might be 512K. I don't know. Every phone and email operating system has different constraints. So you will look on your phone or look on your email, find out what it is that you need to send, what size the file has to be, and you're just going to set that ratio there, and also you can set the bit rate, and that's all there is. Set the compression ratio, compress video very easily, advanced mode, you have custom resolution and bit rate, and you also have a preview, which is very handy to see if it's going to look like a postage stamp or if it's going to look like, and you have to increase the bit rate, or if it's grainy, whatever. So this app allows you a preview, and that's important, and that's all good. Now, this next app that I'm going to talk about, I got to tell you, I'm not a teenager anymore. I wish I was. Boy, if you ever want to go back and be a teenager and wish that you would go back and know what you know now, man, I think about that all the time. I'd be rich. I mean, man, property that you see that you would have never bought, like woods, and you can buy it cheap. If I was a teenager, I had no money anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter. Anyway, back to reality. There's some things that just, I still scratch my head and I just don't get it. Now, certainly gaming is huge, multi-billion dollar with the B industry. I do not play games at all. I just don't. But certainly a ton of the teenagers today, probably 90.9%, probably 99.9% of them all are quasi addicted to playing whatever it is that they play. And I know several teenagers that, honest to God, they're addicted. That's all they do. They're on their phones, they're on their computers, and man, they just play games 24/7. Now, that said, we're going to take a look at a site called Twitch, and here it is, and that's T-W-I-T-C-H. You may have heard of it, you may not, but it's one of those things I kind of get, but I kind of don't get. So if you're a gamer, most of your kids or your teenagers and even young adults, I got a nephew who's in his 30s, and he's just a Minecraft wizard, addicted guru, whatever. Like, oh my God. So he goes on to Twitch and he has his own channel. I want to say that Twitch is primarily for gaming, okay? But it's not all for gaming, mostly for gaming. But you can search there for whatever it is that you want. And I must warn you, there's some pretty off-the-wall stuff here and it has nothing to do with gaming. So you got to be quasi-careful if your kids or teenagers are on that, because I was actually shocked to see some of the stuff that's on there. And let's just say it's, you get the picture. Like everything else on the internet, you got to be careful. So why am I talking about this? Well, if you want to have some interesting interactions with it, this is called Witch for Twitch. I love the name, Witch for Twitch. Witch for Itch. I don't know. This will allow you to watch Twitch and live streams on your smartphone. So I know all of you are craving to watch Twitch on your smartphone, but Witch for Twitch is a watch client. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so if you have a smartwatch, you can actually watch Twitch on your smartphone. And I got to tell you, I've been waiting for this app for years. But my nephew uses it, and it's insane. It's insane. I can't keep, you know, no offense out there, but like, I'm not a golfer, and you know, I respect the game. I respect the science of it, and the control, the discipline. It's an amazing sport, but I don't like the sport, and I can't watch it on TV. It's like watching grass grow. And that's how a game is to me. When I watch someone else playing Minecraft or whatever it is, I just can't do it. But for those of you who can, or for those of you who have friends, family, neighbors, whatever, who like Twitch and have a watch, Witch for Twitch is for you. I'm leaving that one. All right. This next app is a very cute app, and I actually like it. It's Story Studio and Ad Maker. Now, why would you want this? Well, since we're talking about social media, this particular app is going to allow you to take a selfie, animate an image, or use prefabricated story templates to turn your image into a video animated story. It's very high quality. The images and video come out in extreme high resolution and are ready to export to your favorite social media platforms such as Instagram or Facebook. So no design skills are required, and that's why I like this and I use the templates. They have great fonts on there. It's 100% free. Yes, of course, they're going to have in-app purchases. But with this particular app, it's so good. I don't need to buy anything. At least I don't need anything on it because it does what I want. You can have a subscription to this. I think it's like $3 a month or something like that. But take a peek at this app. I think you'll like it. It offers some interesting options. Now, our next app I like a lot. This is called Rain Radar, and this has just been upgraded. Gets 4.5 out of 5 stars. Excellent app. And you can actually, what I like about this is you can see the rain, the weather, all over the place. So not only where you live, but you can see how far it's going out and pretty much know with a fair amount of accuracy when that rain is coming your way. So it's real nice. Track the movement of downpours, weather fronts, and storms using the zoomable, and that's what I like about it. Rain radar function. Rain radar forecasts any location worldwide and displays real-time weather conditions as well as emerging patterns. I really like this app. It's one of the few weather apps out there that, A, I find to be very accurate, and two, it allows you to take a look at the whole picture and kind of forecast things. For example, if you're going to be driving, from Scranton, Pennsylvania to Narragansett, Rhode Island, that's about a 4.5-5 hour trip, depending upon how fast you go and what the traffic is and what the weather is. And typically, you don't want to be driving that if it's really stormy outside or snow. It's real nasty. So if you really want the accurate forecast, I'll actually use this and see what the weather looks like. Great app, and highly recommended it. Now, this next app, a lot of you won't use, but for the ones who do like to use a scientific calculator, and I still use one, this is probably pound for pound one of the best ones out there for free. This is called SciCalc 82. And again, I know a lot of you don't bother with it. You know, you don't care about exponents and the power of tens and all that stuff. But on occasion, I do need to use that. And of course, if I don't have my scientific calculator with me, I used to, when I was in college, I used to carry one of those things all the time. You know, I was around when the calculators didn't exist, and I don't know, when I was like 17, 18, I had to take a FCC test to get my FCC license, Federal Communications License, and I remember, you know, of course, I was born and raised in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and one of the colleges I went to the first 2 years was Rider Institute of Technology, and that was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. In any event, I had to go to Philadelphia because that's the only place they offered the FCC tests to get your license. And there were, I think, three or four licenses. The first license was just a general license, and that was easy, you know, no big deal. But the second one, oh my God, that was, what the heck was that called? Maybe first class. That had a lot of math. And in those days, they didn't have calculators, and you had to use your brain or a slide rule. Remember slide rule? So I would be one of those geeks and have my slide rule, and what a pain in the neck that was. And then, somewhere, I don't know, around 1962, 3, 4, I don't remember. Somewhere in there, probably 64-ish, they came out with the calculator. Oh my God, I can multiply 10,000 times 100,000 and get the right answers. Because with the slide rule, you couldn't. I always had trouble remembering where the zeros go. I'll tell you another story about that in a second. I do digress. But I was so excited with these calculators, and they wouldn't let you use them. And I couldn't understand it. They'll let you use a slide rule, but they wouldn't let you use a calculator. And it's like, why not? But in any event, I remember failing the test two or three times, and by the third time I figured it out. And what saved me was one guy sat me down and said, "You got all the technical stuff right, but," he said, "you're messing up on the math questions. And your problem is you're getting the answer right, but you don't know whether it's thousands, millions, or trillions, and you're losing track of your zeros." So that's when he showed me the power of tens. Oh my God. Once I got that, and it took me like 20 minutes, boom. I was good to go. So in any event, there's my story about the scientific calculator. All right, folks, our last app of the day for the iPhone, folks, and iPad. This is a real nice app. It's called Night Cam. It's a night mode camera. And for those folks who are fortunate enough to have the i12 or the i13, yes, it has a phenomenal night mode built into it. And you probably don't need this app. But if you don't have a 13 or even a 12, and even if you do, this app offers you a lot of cool features. There are some in-app purchases which actually add a lot to the phone, to the photography of the phone. But this is artificially intelligence, AI based, and that's slightly different than what you have in your phone, slightly. So this does low light enhancements using a different algorithm, and you can definitely see the difference. You'll be shooting in high quality. It will allow you to adjust the exposure, the ISO, and the white balance. So if you look here, you can see you get some pretty snazzy results with this. This is nice. This is with and without. Also here, they have a beautiful shot at night of a lake. So this is a great app, and I think you'll like it. Again, it's called Night Cam. And this will be available in the show notes. So that, folks, is going to wrap it up for the Gadget Professor. Hope you enjoyed today's show. And I will see everybody next Thursday evening. So long.
The Gadget Professor.
is produced by Don Bain.
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on The Gadget Professor or would like to appear on The Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.